The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We continue our series on the sanctification of time with an introduction to the season of Advent. The calculation of Advent in the Orthodox Church differs from that in the Roman Church. Whereas the season of Advent in the Roman Church begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, or the Sunday nearest the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, November 30th, the Christmas fast, or Little Lent, as it is called in the Orthodox Church, begins every year 40 days before Christmas on November the 15th. It's interesting to note that the significance of the number of 40 in both the Old and New Testaments. In Noah's time, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, Genesis 7:17. The children of Israel ate manna in the wilderness for 40 years, Exodus 16:35. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, Exodus 28:8. Again, a second time he was there for 40 days, Exodus 34:28. And the men returning from spying out the land of Canaan came after 40 days, Numbers 13:25. When God's first judge, Othniel, delivered Israel, there was peace in the land for 40 years, Judges 3:11. King David reigned over Israel for 40 years, 2 Samuel 5:4. Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4:2. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, Acts 1:3. Consequently, the idea of 40 days has carried over into the rhythm of the liturgical year in the form of seasons of preparation and seasons of celebration. The two 40-day seasons of preparation, penitence and fasting, are Great Lent before Easter and the Little Lent before Christmas. Great Lent is a more intense season of preparation since Easter, Holy Week, and Easter, the highest holy days of the year. Nevertheless, the Christmas fast should be viewed in a light similar to Great Lent, since Christmas is generally regarded as the second most holy day of the church year and often referred to as the winter Pascha. Following these 40-day seasons of penitence, the church enjoys two 40-day seasons of celebration, the Easter season and the Christmas season. Unfortunately, many modern Americans celebrate only the two primary feast days. All too often, Christmas and Easter are treated as merely one-day events, to be forgotten until next year. Perhaps a lack of genuine preparation for these days during the penitential seasons is reflected in our inability to maintain a spirit of joy through the following seasons of celebration. Father Alexander Schmemann's observations are worthy of note. It's easy to go to church, it's difficult to celebrate. For mere going to church, mere attendance, is not enough. True celebration is always a living participation, but no one can reach that participation and the meaning in depth, the joy of the celebration, unless one prepares himself. That's why we can never celebrate a feast without going through the effort of preparation. This is the meaning of the crucial institution of fasting. In the Christian sense of the word, fasting is not a mere change of diet. True fasting is always bodily and spiritual, the effort of the whole man. Why? Because this is the only way for us to become light again, open to God and to His joy. It's impossible to enter the kingdom of God without getting rid of spiritual fat, of all that's evil, superficial, petty, and mortal in our life. And this is why the rhythm of the church's life is always that of preparation and fulfillment. End of quote. These seasons of preparation should include not only fasting, but also prayer and almsgiving. Christ points to these practices as foundational to true spirituality in His Sermon on the Mount. Our preparation during the season of Advent is, of course, focused on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Incarnation. In the Roman Church, Advent carries with it also a theme of Christ coming in His second coming. We in our church reserve this theme for Holy Week, since it was during those days in Jerusalem, just preceding His Passion, that Christ delivered these lessons and extensively taught about the final judgment. Although the whole 40-day period of November 15th to December 24th is to be seen as a preparation for the coming of the Lord, we have in our church only two Sundays devoting their lessons to the subject. The first is called the Sunday of the Ancestors of the Lord, or the Holy Forefathers, that is, from Adam to St. John the Baptist. The gospel lesson from Luke chapter 14, 16 to 24, highlights the theme of the second coming in a parable of the Great Supper. So here we do have, although we might say on the one hand, we don't have this dual theme of the coming because we emphasize His second coming in Holy Week, yet here it is. And it's here maybe not as prominent, but it's here. This Sunday intensifies our expectation of the ultimate feast in heaven, when Christ will gather together all His saints from the beginning of time for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And the prospect of the second coming also intensifies our preparation to meet Him in judgment. The Sunday before Christmas is called the Sunday of the Genealogy of Christ, and the gospel lesson from Matthew 1 brings all those who looked forward to the coming of the Messiah together with us who enjoy the blessings of His coming. The epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 11, which recalls the faith of those who have gone on before us and inspires us to turn our eyes and hearts towards Jesus, is the author and finisher of our faith. The Sundays, however, are by no means the only days which hold meaning for our preparation to greet the Lord at His birth. Another major feast is celebrated shortly after the beginning of the Christmas fast, the presentation of the Virgin Mary, Mother of God, in the temple. And this is celebrated on November 21st. On this day, most of the lessons are focused on the temple and the dwelling place of God. The first lesson at Vespers comes from Exodus chapter 40 and describes the interior arrangement of the tabernacle. 1 Kings 7:51-8:11, the second Old Testament lesson, describes the dedication of the Temple of Solomon. The third lesson, the same passage that we also read on the Feast of Her Birth from Ezekiel chapter 43 speaks of the east door of the sanctuary closed to all men since God entered by it. The epistle lesson read at the liturgy is from Hebrews 9, which describes the arrangement of the heavenly Holy of Holies. The biblical imagery of all of these point to Mary as the living temple of God. Let's read from the Festal Menaean and Mother Mary and Callistos, where's Bishop Callistos comments. This account of Mary's entry into the temple and of her dwelling there signifies her total dedication to God in readiness for her future vocation as mother of the incarnate Lord. At the Annunciation, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her at the word of an angel, and she conceived the Savior. But the Spirit had also dwelt within her from infancy, preparing her body and soul to be a fitting tabernacle for the Deity, a living temple, a personal Holy of Holies, such is the basic spiritual meaning of the feast. Its chief theme is this indwelling grace of the Spirit, present and active within her from her earliest moments. As one of the texts for the day expresses it, speaking not of the Annunciation, but of her entry into the temple, quote, all the powers of heaven stood amazed, seeing the Holy Spirit dwell in thee. This is taken from the great Vesper service at the Theotokion before the entrance. End of quote. As previously mentioned, it's important to carry the inner meaning of the Feast of Mary over into our understanding of the Church and even ourselves. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, speaks of the Church as the living temple of God. Quote, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is grown into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Also, in his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes about each individual Christian in this way, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. All Christians, of course, believe these things about the Church and each individual, but being reminded of these truths in the celebration of Mary's presentation in the temple deepens our convictions and our understanding of what it really means to be indwelt by the Almighty God. Since this celebration falls within the time of the Christmas fast, it inspires and motivates us to prepare and to cleanse our temple, whether it be on the parish level or on the individual level, in preparation for the coming of the Lord.
And that was Father John Findlay with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.